This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Closest, you know, I dressed for it today. In case you're watching online or you just came in and said, he's wearing jeans and sneakers. I'm at the park. Or nothing else, I parked. Okay, that's close. And as Aaron said earlier, days like today remind us that we are not in charge. We're not in charge. It was once said, the best laid plans of mice and men always come short. I paraphrase that. And we had, man, it was going to be great, but you know what? It still is great. But it reminds us that God is in charge. Can y'all hear me over the rain out there? Okay. Because see, here's the thing. We thought we were going to be in the park. It called for rain. We changed the plans. And then we get here and we do the thing here and it's not raining. I do believe God has a sense of humor. I really do. But it just goes to prove, as we're talking about destroying the secular fantasy, that nothing is in our control. And the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. We forget that sometimes. If we were in the park, I would have drawn your attention to the natural world around us. You can look out the window if you want to. And see all that God has done. This is God's creation that we live in. And as we said before, it's all His. Now, what we're talking about is what we have created, some sort of secular and sacred divide. We partition our lives. We divide our lives. We pick and choose what belongs to God and what doesn't. I'm going to give you the definition, but I'm going to give you the simple definition again, a little review. What is the sacred as we have defined it? Well, the sacred basically is everything that belongs to God. Everything that is His, we call sacred. We talk about this building being the house of God. We talk about this room sometimes being the sanctuary. And we have sacred literature and we have sacred songs that we sing. And today, Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. It's sacred. But then we try to make room for what's been called the secular. It's a fun word, the secular. And that literally, as we've defined it, means everything that belongs to me. It's Monday, that's my day. You know, Thursday night's my night. Saturday morning's my morning. You know, that's my music that I like to listen to. I like those movies. This is mine. This, you know, I don't want God around at times, is basically what we're saying. And the reality is, the sacred is true. Everything not only that belongs to God is His, everything is His. Everything is God's. Nothing belongs to us. Secular, or secularism as it's been called, is a fantasy. It's made up. What we've done is we've acted the thief. We've taken what belongs to God and we've moved it over to us and say, now this is mine. And literally when we do that, we steal from God. You know, this sanctuary, it makes me work a little harder, okay? Just trying to tell you. I got to make sure I preach to Aaron and also to the Helms over here. I got to make sure I get everybody. But, you know, we say, this is mine. And the reality is there is no such thing as mine in the big picture. No such thing as mine. And we talked about that last week. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24. And the fullness thereof, yea, and all that live within it. Even we belong to the Lord. In reality, we belong to the Lord before we were ever saved. We were still His. The atheist, the skeptic that denies God or His existence, they're living in a fantasy world because they belong to God. They bear His image. Let's look at that. Take your Bibles and go with me all the way back to the beginning, the book of Genesis chapter 1. You know, everything that is, we find its beginning in Genesis chapter 1. not only the material world, but also the human story finds its beginning in Genesis chapter 1. And all through the first chapters of Genesis, we see the birth of everything, not just material, but also spiritual. We see the birth of sin in humanity. We see the birth of hate from Cain and Abel. We see the birth of rebellion with Lamech. And we can keep going and going and going and going. As humanity began to flourish and as humanity began to grow, humanity got grabby. And we started grabbing everything and taking it over. But we're going to look in chapter 1 to see where it all began. Because we need to be reminded that as we look at the natural world, as we look at everything and everyone around us, it belongs to God. And first of all, we're going to see that humanity is in fact designed. As we walk through our day, as we go to the store, we go to work, we go to school, we mow the grass, whatever, we find that we are designed by God to live and to breathe. As a matter of fact, as we see, the breath that we even breathe is literally the breath of Almighty God. Somebody said, Pastor Mike, how do you know there's a God? How can you prove there's a God? And I can do 3 hours of that up here, but you don't want to do that. You want to eat lunch. But I can just tell you in a quick sentence, how do I know there's a God? Because everything had to come from something and somewhere. Everything had to come. You know, it's interesting. Some people scoff at the virgin birth of Christ, but they don't seem to have a problem with creation and the world of material and human coming from nothing. So toy with that one. Get some Tylenol and work that out. But let's talk about humanity as designed. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. And we're on the sixth day of creation. The sixth day, he's already created for the last 5 days. He's created and appointed the lights in heaven. He's created the earth. He's created all the living plants and also the animals. He's created everything that we look out the window. I was going to tell you at the park that you see around you. But as we look out the window, we see that God has created all of these things. And come to the sixth day, it says in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. God, using that royal designation, he is the king of the universe, the sovereign of all that is. Not only that, but God is a triune being. He's one God, three persons. Yeah, Pastor, I can't get my head around that. Well, join the club. Okay, it's not something that we can conceptualize in our finite human understanding, but God is three in one, one in three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for God here is the word Elohim. Elohim. The word El is the basic word. It means mighty and strong one. And in Hebrew, the I-M ending denotes three or more. Not three or more gods. One God, but three persons. One who, three what's. Okay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Notice this, according to our likeness, we are representative of God in our image, in our walk, in who we are. As human beings, we are created in the image and likeness of God. Does that mean God looks like Mike Farley? Oh my goodness, I hope not. Does that mean God looks like us and acts like us? Well, no, it simply means that we are imprinted with his brand, with his image. We bear his image. And some theologians tell us it's because we have intellect, emotions, and will. Okay? Like God, we can think, we can emote, we can react and respond. We can choose based upon knowledge and understanding. We can conceptualize truth, love, justice, all of those things that the animal kingdom cannot do. We are created uniquely in the image of God. So every human being that ever walked the earth or is walking the earth now is literally an image bearer of God, which right there should tell you, you should treat your fellow human being with respect, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter their social status, their financial situation, the color of their skin, even if they do not believe the Bible and Scripture and those things, we still should treat people with dignity and respect because they are the created image of God. And so right away, we own that. God has created us. We are designed in a unique way. We represent God. But not only that, but understand in that within that representation, we are also responsible to God. We're responsible to God. I mean, if you purchase a product somewhere and it doesn't work, you call the company that made it. Okay? You know what? When we don't work right, and because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we don't, that means we need to go back to the Creator. But He's not the problem. We are, as we'll see in just a moment. So we are uniquely and wonderfully designed by God. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist says literally that we are woven by God. And my wife has been doing a thing on Wednesday evening with the children, doing little experiments with bones, chicken bones. I'm happy to tell you I took care of the stuff to get her the chicken bones. Okay. But you never know with my wife. She's got some, it's like my kitchen's a laboratory. And she's in there turning bones into rubber with vinegar. I didn't know you could do that. I just thought aging did that, okay? But she does all this stuff, and then she takes these bones, and she's broken them apart. And one of the things that she's been reading and studying, bones are knitted together. They're literally woven together. Such an interesting thing correlating with Scripture. We are created in God's image. We are designed. So therefore, we are representative of God, and we should treat one another with respect. But because of that, we are also responsible to Him. We are ultimately going to answer to Him. Whether you're a believer or not, I hate to tell you, one day we are all going to answer to God. We're going to stand before Him and give an account. Keep that in mind, but that is God's design. He created humanity so that He might fellowship with us for eternity. God, isn't that amazing? God didn't have to, but He wanted to make a being or beings that He could spend time with, that would love Him and that He could love. We are designed. That's our design. And when He designed us, He put us in this earth. Notice what He says as we continue. He says, according to our likeness, let's make Him according to our likeness. Verse 2, continuing verse 26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man or humanity in His own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created them. So God created us and gave us dominion. We are the pinnacle of His creation. We are to have dominance or dominion over this planet. What does that mean? Well, first of all, we need to understand, in doing so, God made us the managers of the earth. Please understand, God is the owner of the earth. Remember what it said in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is His property. This is His world. Not just the earth, but the entire universe we exist in belongs to God. He is the owner. When I was in college, I worked at Chick-fil-A, okay? And over a period of time, I became the assistant manager. My boss was the owner. But when he was away, I was the dude that was running the place. And the thing about it is, my job was to make sure it ran properly. Make sure we did everything we were supposed to do because I had to answer to the owner. It was his. It wasn't mine. Every night at the end of the evening, I would take all the cash register drawers, go up into the office upstairs at our Chick-fil-A, take out all of that money, and I was responsible for counting it and making the report and putting it in the safe. Somebody said, oh, wasn't that tempting, all that money? No, it wasn't, because I realized that didn't belong to me. That wasn't mine. I would have to take it, count it out, make notes of it, put it in an envelope, stick it in the safe. And the next morning, I would come. Some days I worked from 7 to midnight and then came back in the next morning at 7 o'clock when he was on vacation. And I would have to go down there and get that money and take it all to the bank. It was not mine, not a dime of it. It was his. He was the owner. I was simply the manager. It's that way with this planet. God has given us dominion on this planet. You know, I hear people all the time really ragging on and giving, especially conservative Christians, and I'm one of those. I'm a conservative Christian. But giving a hard time to environmentalists. Oh, they're just tree huggers and everything else. Let me tell you something, my beloved brother and sister in Christ. We must take care of this planet. And I believe for the most part we want to, but it saddens me when I drive down 29 or 601 and see trash lining the highways. We tear up this planet that God has made us managers over. Now, that doesn't mean like some really out there environmentalists want to put animals ahead of humans. No. We have dominion on this planet. We are to care for this planet. We are to manage the earth. Not just manage the earth, but manage earth's resources and maintain the earth. We are to maintain those resources and use them responsibly. We are to take care of this planet. And understand this, we are part of this planet as well. So we are to treat each other respectfully. Not just within these walls, but outside. We are to treat the world that we live in respectfully. As a matter of fact, we've been given the onus of managing it and maintaining it for God. I couldn't imagine if I did something wrong and my boss came in and gave me a hard time. One night we were closing up, and we have the French fry machine, and we got the chicken cooking machines, and one of the other guys that work with me got the bright idea that he was going to make the work go quicker. So he took the French fry machine that was plugged into the wall and got the hose out that we used to fill the mop bucket, and he thought he was going to hose that thing down. Because he thought, I know better how to do this. It took us 30 minutes to get the fire out. And then I had to call the boss. Because I called him every night. He'd say, hey, Mike, what's going on? Everything all right? Well, after the fire, everything is good. And then he choked a couple of times. We got it under control. I didn't throw the other guy under the bus because at the end of the day, I was responsible. But nonetheless, when we take matters into our own hands and try to do them against the will and word of God, man, we light a fire. And not a good one. God has given us instruction. He's given us the directions on how we're to carry ourselves on this planet as his manager and as we maintain the world that we live in. It belongs to him. Therefore, not only that, but our lives belong to him. We are at his beck and call. And God can do anything he wants with us, no matter what, because he is God. He is the creator. So yes, he's designed us, created in his image. We are image bearers, but at the same time, we're also managers of this life, of this world. How are we doing with that? How are we getting along with our fellow human being? How are we dealing with the earth and the world? Are we greeting up everything, or are we taking care of it? So that's our design. That's our dominion. There's nothing that's human. There's nothing that belongs to us. It's God's. We're just managing it for him and maintaining it for him. But God takes care of us in that as well. Because as we go further, in verse 28, it says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing. So yes, we are to have children if we can. If we can't, you can adopt, or maybe God has called you to that. I don't know. That's not my call. But God called humanity. By the way, that was the first commandment, to be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with people. I've told you many times of an exercise we did in school to determine an extreme environmentalist's argument. This young lady, she was a lawyer, and she wrote an article for a prestigious magazine, and basically she posed a moral problem. She said, if you're driving down the street by a lake, and you look out, you see an infant in the water drowning, and then not far, you see a kitten in the water drowning. Her dilemma was, which one do you save first? And she posited that you would save the kitten first. She said, I would go in and I would save the kitten first. She said, because that kitten's not going to grow up and pollute the planet and throw trash everywhere and create a great big carbon footprint. And I'm reading that and I'm thinking, really? You'd let this child die to save a kitten? Now, y'all know me. Well, we're not going to go there. Because I love cats. Anyway. And our professor said, you need to solve this dilemma and don't use the Bible or refer to God. Wait a minute. I had one guy, as I told you before, the student got up. He got mad. He was going to leave. I didn't come here. I came here to learn the Bible and talk about God. And he was leaving. But no, he said, sit down. And it was our, because here's the thing. Yes, God created the natural world. And within the natural world, he created natural law. And so you solve this by understanding that you save that infant first because they are the pinnacle of God's creation. Maybe that infant will grow up and be a polluter and a carbon footprint as big as Wyoming. Or maybe she'll grow up and be a great scientist who comes and finds the cure to cancer. A great musician that brings beautiful music. You just don't know. So here's the thing. Animals are not to supersede humans. Humans are God's dominant creation. We're not to abuse the earth because of that. We are to care for it. And yes, we are not to pollute and create filth. Clean up after ourselves. If we were at the park today, we would clean up our trash after we left. So as we look at this, we see God supplies for our care as we maintain the earth, as we live over it. He says in verse 29, it says, and then God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. In other words, God has made sure that we have everything we need to live up to his command. God didn't leave us out there with nothing. God has taken care of it. You know, it never ceases to amaze me when I read the news how much poverty and hunger is in the world. Even here in America, there's poverty and hunger. It's sad in one of the richest nations on the planet, we have children that still go to bed hungry. We have children that don't have enough clothes to wear or food to eat. We have families that are struggling and striving. And in other parts of the world, drinking water is something that is scarce in some places. Basic food. I mean, we take it for granted. Years ago, we had a missionary from Africa come, and we hosted him, and he preached. And I remember we took him out. I took him out with a bunch of pastors, and we went to a Chinese buffet. And as we got in line, all of us, I was larger then, okay? And all of we pastors, man, we were loading it up. Because Paul said, who could buffet my body more than I? I mean, you know, that's a play on words. You got 1 Corinthians 9. Anyway, but this guy, he was standing behind me just confused. And I asked him, I said, Charles, are you okay? Is there anything you need? He said, you are putting more on your plates than we get in a week. You talk about feeling that tall. It took me a long time to get over that because he was telling me they didn't have as much to eat. And the question is this, we have a world that God has created with plenty. We're going to see that in a minute. Bountiful things. God has provided. He's provided for our care. Why are there hungry people? Why are there people struggling? Why isn't there enough clean water to drink? I'll tell you why. It's because rather than manage God's earth, we've appropriated it for ourselves. And I'm going to get more than you, or you're going to try to get more than me. And we're going to hoard, and we're going to, you know, during the COVID time 5 years ago, you could not find toilet paper. You could not find hand sanitizer. You could not find soap because people were hoarding it. You want to know what that's like? You go back 5 years ago and walk through Food Lion or Publix and see the empty shelves that were there. That is what's going on our planet because we think we're the center of the universe and it's our world and we should have it all, and we hoard it to ourselves. Because let me tell you a very, very simple truth. God created this world with enough resources for everyone to have enough. The problem is we're not satisfied with enough. Let me ask you a question. When is enough enough? See, we need to realize that this is God's. It's not mine. Everything that I have is by the grace of Almighty God. Some people have less than me. Some people have more than me. It's not a competition. And if we find that we have plenty, more than plenty, are we sharing it with people who are struggling and have nothing? You know, we're coming up on the holiday season. I don't know if you've been in Target yet or Walmart. They already got the Christmas decorations up. Happy, happy. And man, we're going to load up and celebrate. And well, we should. I love Christmas. I love all that celebration. I love, but you know, there are some people who can't. Now, I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. I am saying this to ask you, how much is enough? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And yes, because people are hungry and dying and struggling is not because of God shortchanging us somewhere. It's because we have taken more than we deserve, more than we should. Because he's provided for our care. Again, notice he said he's created plenty of food. I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the planet, on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed for you, know, you, and not only that, but notice the seed, you know, God, the planet teaches us profit and gain, because you take one apple seed and you grow a tree of apples. You take one kernel of wheat and grow a stalk of kernels of wheat. God is amazing how he does that. And then he says, yes, I've even provided it for the animals, because not only has he provided for our care, but he's also provided for what we care for. Because we, again, are to be managers of this planet. We are to care for things under our feet. We're to care for the animals in the world. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big animal lover. I don't want animals in my house, but because I love my wife, we have cats. And I told her, Susan, God forbid you go before me, they're going with you. Okay, that's just, you know, that's just it. My daughter said, Dad, do you want any kind of pet? I said, a goldfish. Because when I get bored with them or they get bored with me, it's flume ride time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. Now, I'm not kidding about cats, but I'm kidding about the goldfish. But as much as I'm not a big animal lover, I'd never want to see one hurt or struggling. And, you know, now, God does later on in Genesis, after the flood, give humanity permission to eat meat. And to eat game and to eat meat, and that's okay. But he's provided everything we need and everything that we care for, everything they need. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God's supply, God gives. So he's given us, he's designed us to live in the world as his managers. He's the owner. We never need to forget that. And I'll say to you this morning, either here or online, whatever you have is a gift from God. Be grateful for it. Because it can be here 1 minute and gone the next. Again, God reminds us he's running the show. That's what God did this morning. Oh, we made big plans for the park. Mike made plans for the music. The Vahars made plans for the breakfast. And Aaron and I, we planned for everything. And you know what God did? He said, nope. I'm going to make it rain. And then we had the rain, and oh, it's going to rain. And then we got up this morning, and look. I see no rain. But God said, see, Mike, I'm in charge. But you know what? It's all right. God's supply. God's given us dominion. And when he created the world, look what it says as we finish. Verse 31. And then God saw everything that he had made. That's everything, including us. This was the last day of creation. The animals, the sky, the oceans, the mountains, the trees, the grass, and you and I. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So ultimately, as God finished creation, as God had completed putting it all together, we see his satisfaction. And certainly, as you look at the world around you, it's beautiful. I mean, even on this highway, the beautiful trees that we get to look out the window at, the beautiful park that we're going to, maybe your yard is a beautiful place where you enjoy relaxation. God has indeed created a beautiful world, and it is bountiful. And let me say again, there is plenty on this planet. We have over 8 billion people on this planet right now. And in reality, there's plenty of room for everybody, plenty of resources for everybody. And we can only realize that when we understand that enough should be enough. It's a bountiful world. Everything you need is here. And it's a blessed world. How is it blessed? Because it is God's creation. You say, Pastor, do you really believe in the 6 days of literal creation? Yes. Because there's really no reason, scientific or philosophical reason, why not to. God created it good. The reason why there are problems in the world, the reason why there is hunger and brokenness, the reason why there is war and anger, the reason why there is depravity and deprivation, is because humanity, after the fall of Adam and Eve, decided to take what belonged to God and hoard it to themselves. And when you have 8 billion people trying to hoard stuff to themselves, you're going to have some disagreement. You're going to have some issues. You and I are to be God's managers, and we are to let God lead and guide us in our direction in this world, because at the end of the day, there is no secular. It's a lie. Everything, including you, your body, your material possessions, all of it belongs to God. Tim Keller, late pastor and apologist, had this to say. How are we to conduct ourselves as God's creation? He said, we are continuing God's work of forming, filling, and subduing. Whenever we bring order out of chaos, whenever we draw our creative potential, whenever we elaborate and unfold creation beyond where it was when we found it, we are following God's pattern of creative and cultural development. In other words, when we go into a chaotic situation and seek to make it right, we're living out God's mandate for us. Whenever we see hunger or thirst or loss and go and try to provide and help, we are living out God's mandate for us. To take what is chaotic because of human sinfulness, because of secular dreams, and go make it right, then we are living out God's original mandate for humanity. As we finish this morning, Psalm 8, verses 3 through 5. Look what the psalmist said. He said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him?" In other words, in the whole panoply of God's amazing creation, here we are. What is man that you are mindful of him, God? Why should you care? Why should you pay attention to us? Why do I matter? And the reality is we matter because God created us for a purpose. He goes on to say, "For you have made him," humanity, man, "a little lower than the angels." And that is true. At this moment, we are a little lower than the angels. But the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, one day we will rule over the angels. We will judge the angels. But for now, he has made us a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. How are we crowned with glory and honor? We are the image bearers of God. We are to have dominion on this planet, exercising that dominion with grace, responsibility, and integrity, because one day we will stand before him and give an account. And here's the thing, you are created in God's image. You know what? That means God loves you. He loves you so much. And no, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, your choices, whether good or bad. Doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter who you are. Because God made you. God created you and created you in his image. He loves you desperately. Say, "Pastor, desperately?" So desperately that he took a cross for you and I. He took on flesh and lived among us as a human. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, walked with humans, talked with humans, experienced, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, all that we experience, he experienced. Pain, betrayal, sadness, sorrow, happiness, everything. He was the only perfect human that ever walked. And despite his perfection, he was taken and beaten and nailed to a cross where he died. And then they took him and they buried him. But 3 days later, he rose. And he's alive today. And he offers salvation to all of those created beings who bear his image, who want it. Oh, I don't like religion. Well, neither does God. Because religion is what has sent more people to hell than anything else. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship that you can have with God through faith in Christ. You come to him and admit, because of Adam and Eve, because of human greed, I'm a sinner. I am. We've all done things wrong. And that's why Jesus came to die on the cross to take the blame for our sin. Can you believe that? That's how much he loves us. We should, if we are to pay for our sin, we should pay for it by death and separation from God. But when Jesus died, God in the flesh died, he died and took our place. He paid that death penalty. He was buried, but he rose. And because he's alive, we can be alive if we come to him by faith and place our trust in him. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his grace, he has saved us. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we take a moment to contemplate. No, we didn't make it to the park today. And yes, there's a bit of disappointment in that, but you know what? At the same time, God is good. And we're enjoying a time of worship and fellowship. And it's a good day. We can be angry. We can be upset. But the best thing to do is yield to God because he is the owner. We're just the managers. If God changes what he wants us to do, that's his business. When we expect sunshine and he sends rain, that's okay. Or if we expect rain and he sends sunshine, that's okay. It's his creation. He can do with it as he wishes. So are we his creation. You and I created in His image. And because of that, He loves you desperately and wants to spend eternity with you. And the biggest decision you can ever make in your life on this planet is to finally come to Him as owner and creator of the universe. Confess your sin. I am sinful. We all are. We all fall short. I'm not good enough to get into heaven. No one is. But that's why God clothed Himself in flesh, to walk among us, to live among us, to die for us, and take the blame for our sin, because He had none. He was buried, rose again from the dead. I say it again to keep pushing it, because He is alive and in the midst of us today, even in this building. And He offers salvation to all who would come to Him by faith and trust Him and only Him as their way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Me. If you want to fulfill God's ultimate purpose for your life, that decision to trust Him as Savior is where it starts. He is the owner. You are the created being that bears His image. Follow through with faith in Him. I pray that you'll trust Him for the first time this morning if you've never done that. Now, if you're here and you know Christ as Savior, how are you living your life, my brother and sister? Are you partitioning it out? This belongs to me, that belongs to God. Is enough enough? When was the last time you stepped out and helped someone, also someone who bears the image of God? They may not agree with you politically. They may not agree with you morally. But they still bear the image of God. Do your friends know Christ? Does your family know Christ? Reach out with a loving hand. And not only tell them of Jesus, but show them Jesus in your life. As you yield to the fact that He is the owner of everything, including your body, and the very breath of your lung in your lungs belongs to Him. Because then decisions are a little easier to make when we realize that truth. Father, Lord God, we are grateful for the fact that we are here today. Father, we had a situation planned, but You changed the parameters. And yes, at the beginning, that was disappointing, a little frustrating. That's because, Lord, I wanted it done my way and not Yours. Forgive me for that. Father, thank You that You enabled us to meet here today. Let's celebrate together, worship together, eat together. And Father, while we may not be at the park, we are at Your feet. I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice knows Christ as his or her Savior and will yield their lives in service to Him, because He is, You are the owner of it all. We're just managers. We're just maintainers. Thank You for the provision You've given us today. We paid off that note. What a glorious day this is, for You have provided yet again. We celebrate that. Father, may we be truly generous with our supply for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.